Blog Talk Radio.
We're coming to you live from Take the Dress Off. How's everybody doing out there? We're still coming to you from two separate states, talking about a certain team known as...
How many more championships do you guys think we're going to predict on this field?
Gentlemen, the only question is, not will they repeat, but how many times?
You know, I don't think we're talking about a repeat, a three-peat, or even a four-peat.
That's right. We're talking a minimum eight-peat.
What's going on, everybody? Late Night Sports Talk with Darren and Greg. The trade deadline is upon us, and it was a day of nonstop notifications if you had the NBA League Pass app.
Yeah, seriously.
Absolutely crazy. Point guards going across the board, equal level, doesn't matter, left to right, east to west, just absolutely crazy.
15 teams were in trades today. Like, that's like one of the most ever. Like it seemed like every single team had a trade except for the Bulls. That was it. Everyone went
pretty
somewhere
much.
Except the Bulls.
They didn't do anything. I would like to have seen them add another shooter, but with the way Tony Snell's shooting, if he stays up with that, that doesn't really matter.
I mean, this team is solid in general, but for those who are just coming, we'll get right into the details. Basically, how I compiled this is because I tried looking for this myself, and it's impossible to find. So what I did was I set this up where I'll list off each team one by one, and then I'll tell them who they traded and who they got in return. And in addition, if you're like us and you only really watch the top-tier teams and you don't know, like, all these no-name guys don't really matter, especially for teams that don't matter, I'll give them, like, a quick summary thanks to the help of NBA 2K. So that's the overall
this
rating.
This segment
something.
Brought to you by NBA 2K.
Yeah, and also brought to you by Ting. All right.
Also brought to you by Fuck Ronnie 2K.
But anyways, the Celtics traded Tayshaun Prince and Marcus Thornton. And Marcus Thornton is a 76 overall shooting guard. He shoots threes. He can drive with average defense. And then in return, they got Isaiah Thomas, Jonas Jerebinko, who's a 6'10", 76 overall power forward. He's like a stretch forward shooter. He can kind of hit the three, average defense. What's his name? Oh, I don't know. I have Gigi Datome, but I think it's – oh, wait, Luigi Datome.
Wait, Luigi.
Yeah, Luigi Datome. Actually, I don't even have a scouting report on that guy. I think he was just a bum. That's what I didn't put
in. He's Italian, so he'll be pretty good.
Yeah. And Nets trade Tedious Young. No clue. Tedious? Tedious? I have no clue. Yeah, these pronunciations are going to be even worse. And he's just a 75 overall power forward, average athletic offensive player for Kevin Garnett, who's going back to Minnesota, which I think means that he's probably going to retire because I don't know why else he'd go back to Minnesota other than to retire.
But they were talking that they want a two-year deal with him.
Well, honestly, he's either retiring this year or next year. Like maybe not this year because, you know, it's halfway through, but by the end of next year, I'd be shocked Kevin Garnett's still playing basketball. And then the Nuggets trade Aaron Aflalo, who's a 6'5", 78 overall shooting guard. He's an all-around shooter with average defense. JaVale McGee, and then Alonzo Gee, who's a 6'6", small forward. He's just a bench warmer, so he's crap. And then also a 2015 first-round draft pick. And in return, they get Will Barton, Thomas Robinson, who's a 72 overall, 6'10", rebounding forward. Victor Claver. Don't have a scouting report.
I've never heard of any of these guys.
Oh, no, I know. Me either. That's exactly why I did this report. Senk Elanco.
Elanco.
At 2016 first-round pick. The Pistons traded DJ Augustine, Jonas Jerebinko.
Oh, cool.
Jonas Jerebinko, he's a 6'10", 76 overall power forward. He's also a stretch forward. Oh, he's that guy from before. So they're the ones that got the guy stretch forward with average defense. And then Luigi Datome. Yeah, that's the bench warmer and the second-round pick. And then in return, they got Reggie Jackson, which I think is you know, Reggie Jackson
that's
is good,
trade.
But he's not that good, though.
That's a good trade because now they can shoot threes better. And I think – and actually, DJ Augustine and Durant played together in college.
Oh, you mean for the Pistons? That's coming up next. But that's saying that the Pistons screwed up because they lost a lot of guys and all they got was a bad Reggie
Jackson. Oh, I agree.
Like an average Reggie Jackson. And the Rockets traded – these weren't straight-up trades. That's why I'm doing this list because it's not like, you know, like most all these trades are extremely complicated, mm-hmm. like three-team, four-team trades. That's why I did this layout. The Rockets traded Alexi Chavez. He's a bum, average bum. And then three – I don't know why they listed it as future. I don't know if that means that it's not disclosed yet, but three future second-round picks. And then in return, they got – KJ McDaniels, who's a below average at everything, 6'6 shooting guard, and Pablo Prigioni, who's a also a bum. So, like, most of these are just trading bums back and forth. I don't really get the point. I think a lot of it, too, is GMs are like, oh, man, the deadline's going out. Oh, let's do a crazy trade last minute. And they just do a trade that doesn't make any
difference
like at
all. 6 minutes before the deadline, my phone just went nuts with notifications. And you texted me a couple times, and by the time I knew it, my phone just went off for, like, an hour.
Yeah. And then the Heat traded Norris Cole, Danny Granger, Shane Williams, and who's just average power forward, Jordan Hamilton, who's a bench warmer, 2017 first-round pick and 2021 first-round pick. And then in return, they got the double Dragic. And everyone knows who Gordon Dragic is, but Zordon Dragic, he's just a below-average 6'5". Three-point shooter who's really not that good at threes either. So the Dragic brother is really not that great.
But the Heat got better.
Yeah, he got better because they definitely – at first I thought they got John Salmons too, which was like, wow, they got a lot better. But just for their starting five, it definitely balances the team out a lot better. And hopefully him and Wade get along better. And then because now the starting lineup is going to be Dragic, Wade, Dang, Bosch, and Whiteside, which that's a really good starting five. The bench is going to be in question, but that's they still have Norris Cole and Chalmers off the bench, so it's not too terrible if they can ever, you know, get their crap together. And then the Pelicans trade or no, yeah he traded and then Milwaukee traded Brandon Knight, which was, you know, he was like a future star point guard, and then in return they got Michael Carter Williams, who's an all-around non-shooting point guard, 6'6", 77 overall.
Solid player.
Yeah, honestly, I don't get these non-shooting point guards. Like, I mean, I kind of get what they're going, but I don't see how that really works in today's NBA. Because you need that three-point shot, especially if you're going to have superstars, and you really can't win in today's league without superstars.
Like even Rondo. Rondo can shoot a little bit. He can score if he has.
Yeah, he finally developed that shot, and that's what made him, like, really, really good a few years ago was because he developed that shot.
Yep.
Miles Plumlee, who's a 6'11". Defensive rebounding center. Oh, cool.
Sever's cool.
Yeah, he's a Sever. And then Justin Hamilton, who I think he's just the average bum. And then Knicks trade that Pablo Prigioni guy, and they got Alex Chavez, who's also a bum. But then in return, they got a second-round draft pick. The Thunder got rid of Reggie Jackson, Kendrick Perkins, and Jared Grant, who's a serious bench warmer. And they traded a first-round pick. And then in return, they got this Enes Kanter guy. And he's a 6'11", 78 overall, great rebounding and three-point shooting power forward. So his skill set, I really like his skill set. So they got one three-point shooter, DJ Augustine, that's another three-point shooter, and Kyle Singler. Kyle Singler, he's a three-point specialist. I think he's with average defense. I think he's a small forward. And then Steve Novak, who we all know is like the 7 foot, like greatest 3 point, well, not the greatest, maybe behind Dirk, but one of the best 7 foot 3 point shooters ever. So they got four major 3 point shooters, especially big 3 point shooters on that team. That's going to help them a lot because that was really their biggest flaw.
And the Bulls, speaking of Kendrick Perkins, the Bulls are reportedly one of the serious contenders for Kendrick Perkins, which actually would be a good move because then you could throw him in there with Taj and that might work out occasionally. That's just more depth. I mean, they don't need another big guy. But if the Bulls were to get Kendrick Perkins, defensively, that would make things really, really, really deep.
Yeah, and then just cut that big white guy who's terrible.
Yeah, he's awful. Barstow,
or whatever his name is. But, yeah, that or now you have room to trade Taj Gibson, but it's too late for that. But I really expected to see the Bulls trade somebody. I'm kind of surprised they didn't trade anybody at all. 76ers traded Michael Carter-Williams, C.J. McDaniels, who's – just that below-average 6'6 shooting guard. Sanka Cole, who's a bum. And they got JaVale McGee. Isaiah Cannon, who's, I think, a bum as well. And then two, which they, now here's why, because they got two 2015 first-round picks and his future second-round picks. So the 76ers are basically looking to rebuild around JaVale McGee, it looks like. And then the Suns trade the Double Dragons and Tyler Ennis, who's just a passing bum point guard. Miles Plumlee, who's that 6'11 defensive rebounder.
Yeah.
And then Isaiah Thomas and the 2015 first round. Then return, they got Danny Granger, Brandon Knight, Kenan Marshall, and John Salomon. So that doesn't look as bad as what initially was reported, because at least what they got in return isn't too terrible. I mean, they lost, like, their best player, but at least now they're more solid overall, because Brandon Knight's going to be really good next year. Danny Granger's a solid player, and John Salomon's can be pretty solid, too. But it's going to be interesting, I guess, next year.
Yeah, the big thing for me that I think about out of this whole thing is where is Perkins going to end up? Because is he a top-tier player? No, but he's a really good player. And I think if a team like the Cavs got him, as Bulls fans would be in a lot of trouble. East fans would be in a lot of trouble. And I think actually, basically, wherever Kendrick Perkins ends up, if it ends up Bulls, if it ends up Cavs, or if it ends up a contender, it's going to change the landscape of things.
Well, I think he fits most with the Bulls. With the Cavs, Perkins literally has zero offense, and with the Bulls, that doesn't matter because it fits as well. Plus, too, you know, we forget, I guess we might as well go into the Ray Allen thing, too, midway through, is that, you know, being former Thibs players, you know, playing with the Celtics, you know, obviously Thibs would be the guy who wanted Perkins in the first place. And, you know, Ray Allen working with Thibs before, although it seems like that's not going to work out. But I guess we'll save that for later.
Well, David Aldridge is reporting that he says, hearing Bulls and Cavs are front runners for Kendrick Perkins when buyout with Jazz is finalized. So we could get something within that very soon.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And then the Blazers trade, Barton, Thomas Robinson, Victor Cleaver, and that was a bench warmer. And a 2016 first-round pick, a future second-round pick. And then in return, they got Aaron Aflalo, Alonzo McGee, who's also a bench warmer. So mostly, I don't know what that was all about. Like, is Aaron Aflalo really – I mean, I guess he's a, you know, all-around scoring shooting guard. But it looks like the Blazers kind of lost out pretty bad in that trade, too. And then so the Blazers and the Pistons are really the biggest losers of the trading, for sure. Then the Kings trade Raymond Sessions, who's a 6'3 average point guard passer
not
with a bad
good.
Shot. So another bad shooting point guard.
He's not a good player. He sucked on the Lakers.
And average defense, so he's really not that good at all.
Using him when we were playing 2K12, like I wanted to shoot myself.
And that was just a straight-up trade to the Wizards for Andre Miller. And Andre Miller is, he's pretty popular, but he's another I'm not sure if he shoots or not, but he's another one of those big point guards. And then the Jazz trade. Well, he can kind of shoot, but still, it's weird that in the trades, all these point guards who got traded are all the point guards who can't shoot. Like hard. I think like only like one point guard in DJ Augustine, even he can't shoot that well. He's really the only point guard who actually has a shot that got traded. Everybody else can't shoot. That's really interesting. I think it's a bunch
of random bums.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's because these guys know that they can't shoot, want to get rid of them, but then they bring in guys who can't shoot because they think. I don't know, maybe it's just the grass is green on the other side effect, but
the only team that got better was the Thunder.
And then the Jazz.
Oh, the Thunder and the Heat. The Thunder and the Heat. The Heat definitely got better on their starting lineup.
And the Jazz, well, this is more important than the playoffs anyways, because your bench doesn't matter as much in the playoffs because of all the stops play.
But it does matter down the stretch. You don't win a championship without a bench.
Or just with mostly down the stretch because of injury. And then the Jazz trade. Enes Kanter, Steve Novak, and then in return, the Jazz. Oh, apparently Jazz got Perkins. I don't know if that's actually the deal or if it was just rumor. This must have been a rumor if there's new upgrades.
Well, no, they're buying them out. They're not going to.
Oh, I see. So in the trade, they got Perkins, Grant Jarrett, Thibaut Pless, who's some random bum, future first round and future second round. So it looks like it worked out for the Jazz. So, I mean, Steve Novak, they've had him forever. But Jazz need a rebuild, so that's good that they got the round pick. So, overall, I don't think anybody did too bad other than the Blazers and Pistons. Everyone else, it's like they just did average. And then the Thunder came away as the winners, for sure.
Yeah, Clippers front runners, big time. That's a dangerous team now.
Yeah, honestly, and that just goes to show that the Thunder's GMs and scouts, like that's the best GM, scout, president, whatever it's called, NBA, in the NBA. Nobody scouts and talents better than the Thunder team. Like, if you Scott Brooks is really the weakest link of this entire team. Like, if you had even, like, an average coach on that team, they probably would have a finals by now. Because that's just pathetic to have that much talent, especially back in, like, the Harden days. Like, you look back now, you can see, like, how crazy good that team was in 2012. And to not even have Harden start, I mean, you had Tabu Stefalosius start over Harden. Like, that just goes to show how bad of a coach you are.
If you gave Thibodeau that team, the Thunder would have already won two titles.
For sure.
They would have won with Harden, and they would have probably won one of the last couple of years, whenever they were healthy.
Honestly, maybe even more, because Thibs was taking these garbage teams in the playoffs. Who knows, really? Because offensively, it wouldn't change at all, because with Scott Brooks on offense, all they do is, you know, like, everyone just stands there with their hands out, like, hey, give me the ball, and then, like, Westbrook or Durant just dribbles around and shoots. Like, there literally is no offense. Like, anyone who actually watches Thunder games and watches the body language, you know that there's literally no offense.
Oh, yeah.
It's I've been calling that out since 2013, since how bad it is. Because 2012, at least they had Harden. Harden kind of, you know, was, like, telling guys, hey, you go over here, you know, how he always does, pointing at guys, telling them where to go and stuff. But after
and Harden,
that,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it, but after that, you could tell how much chaos it was in 2013. That was like, I knew in the NBA Finals how bad Scott Brooks was, and 2013 just finalized how bad Scott Brooks was.
And the thing with Harden, too, like, I just read this today, that when he was, the reason the Rockets wanted him so bad is because, and like Charles Barkley came out talking about analytics and how he doesn't think they're stupid and blah, 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 but and now, in retrospect, it's totally accurate. Harden was the most efficient player in basketball when he was on the Thunder. And then that's another reason they wanted the Harden on the Rockets so bad. That's a really good player. How was that guy not starting on that team? I don't get it. That's one of the best big threes we've ever seen. It could have been, at least.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but then you have, you know, Bach on that team, too, and Perkins.
Oh, my God.
Perkins is the perfect fill-in guy when you have everybody else. And they even had a solid bench, too. So there was no excuse for that team to not have won multiple finals by now.
They just got so good, because even that Steven Adams guy is going to be a really good player. Like, he's a very
They
need Perkins because they have Adams. Adams is a really good player.
Oh, yeah, and even random bums like Reggie Jackson. Like, he's like, I think he wasn't even hyped that much at all, but look at how good, you know, for what he turned out to be, as good as he turned out. All the, like, they bring in all these super athletic, even Jeremy Lamb. Like, Jeremy Lamb is just a no-name guy, and he comes in like, wow, this guy's super athletic and can make plays.
Anthony Morrow shoots threes, whatever his name is.
Yeah, there's that's the whole thing. And even with the trades, like, you look at the trades, that's just how good the front office is for this Thunder team and how horrible the coaching is. Because how do you have these many great players around Kevin Durant and Westbrook and you can't make it work out? Like, that's just terrible.
P. Jones.
Yeah, or he has a first name. So that just,
it's P. Jones. It's P. Jones.
Yeah, but P. Jones is another potential future star. Now the team is super stacked after these trades, and Scott Brooks still won't win him a title.
All you have to do to play for the Thunder is be athletic and look like Kevin Durant and Ibaka. You'll get on the team instantly.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have the leg-breaking surgery, and I'm also going to darken my skin, and eventually in a couple years, probably like 10 years, I'll be the same size as Ibaka, and then I'll just go play for the Thunder.
And that'll take like 10 years of breaking your legs.
Yeah, but then I'll just go play with Wizards Durant, and I'll just play with the best player of all time.
Yeah, you'll be like breaking your legs, so you're like 34, and then finally you have a life again. And then plus two, you gotta get in shape, so you gotta add in like another 2-3 years. Basketball in 10 years.
That'll be Wizards Durant.
Yeah,
it'll be fine. We'll both do just fadeaways.
Yeah, exactly. Wizards Durant. Well, we call him Wizards because of Wizards Michael Jordan. Like when he loses his athleticism, he's probably only going to get better because his post game and post fadeaway and pump fakes and all that. He's so big that his game's not going to be affected. And if anything, it's just going to get more efficient as he gets older, and he gets smarter and everything. And defensively, he gets better. He'll probably get better with age.
It's definitely going to be my favorite player of all time.
For sure, because he has so many tools that he can still utilize because he can do it all. But after these trades, in terms of just overall roster talent, I think the Thunder definitely have the best talented roster in the NBA. It just is not going to be utilized because of Scott Brooks.
It's them and the Bulls. Like, to me, it's them and the Bulls because the Bulls are so big inside. They have four. When Taj is not being dumb in the paint and not passing the ball, he still plays good basketball. The Bulls have four really good big guys with Mirotić, And then the Thunder have just a loaded roster. Honestly, that'll be the finals, and I think the Bulls will win because Scott Brooks will get out-coached. But I don't know if the Bulls could stop Durant and Westbrook all the time. I don't think Rose can cover Westbrook to save his life.
Yeah, I don't know if Scott Brooks can out-coach the West all the way to the finals. I think even if he ran like the Warriors, he's going to get destroyed.
The thing with the Warriors, like we've talked about, is if that three-point shot fails, that's the reason they're going to lose. But they're a good coach team.
Yeah, once they all hit a wall and their shot isn't going in, then they're done. Instantly, they're completely done because there's no other options, and they're all small and they all shoot. That's it. But it's like, you know, again, like we've said, if anyone could pull it off, it'd be Steve Kerr. So it's like you got three-point magician coaching like three-point, all like the greatest three-point team ever.
Hey, seriously, like that's not even a stretch at this point. That's a real thing.
But yeah, I guess going back to the Ray Allen thing, it looks like if I had a guess, I'd definitely say he's going in the Heat. But the argument for him coming to the Bulls is like, look, like this team needs you more than anything. You're going to get more playing time. You're going to improve this team a lot more than you're going to improve the Cavs. If you come to the Bulls, you know, then you're very likely to put them over the top. And the other thing, too, is I noticed with the Bulls, they're kind of like the Bears, but not nearly as bad of a degree, where like if a running back comes in, like Cedric Benson, you know, they come in out of college, you know, in decent shape, but then they just get super, you know, like unhealthy and skinny and like out of shape and fat. The Bulls are kind of like that with shooting. Like guys like Kyle Korver that come in, they're still good, but not nearly as good as before. And then as soon as they leave and go to a team like the Hawks, like their shooting coaches and stuff and the way they train their offense is just so much better. But a guy like Ray Allen obviously isn't going to be effective because he's just, you know, he's so old and such a veteran that it's not going to change his shot. Same thing with Pau Gasol.
Yeah, but same thing happened with Dunleavy. He doesn't shoot as well here as he does everywhere else.
Yeah, but then if you bring in old veterans like Pau Gasol and Ray Allen, they won't be affected at all because they know how to train themselves at that point. That doesn't even matter. So that's why I think if the Bulls get Ray Allen, I'm willing to say it's a lock that the Bulls win the finals.
I don't think they're going to get him. I know they wanted to add another scoring guard who can shoot, but hey, that means a shooting guard. But I don't see Ray Allen going to the Bulls. I have a feeling if they do anything, they're going to get Kendrick Perkins. And I don't even know if that's going to happen. I just hope the Cavs don't get Perkins and Ray Allen. I don't know what their cap situation looks like, but that would be crazy.
Yeah, I could totally see that happening because everyone wants
Cavs
to be on LeBron's team.
That's a lock that the Cavs are going to win then. If that happens, it's over. It's a wrap.
The thing is, it's going to be interesting, is how do you take minutes away from like, it's just going to be really hard to implement Ray Allen because you have so many other guys. Like,
yeah.
You take, like, how do you take minutes away from Deion Waiters and then you got to take minutes away from, or not Deion Waiters, not there anymore. I mean, from Dellavedova, then you got to take minutes away from J.R. Smith, who can't miss right now, and Shumpert, too, who's a solid overall player. So it's like, how is he really going to fit in that rotation? That's the question.
And the thing with the Bulls right now is, like, Tony Snell's shooting the lights out. Butler, He's still very above average. I mean, Ray Allen could definitely find time on this team, no doubt. I mean, imagine running a lineup where it's Rose, Ray Allen, Dunleavy, and Mirotić at the four. That's a lot of good three-point shooters.
Yeah,
good three-point shooters.
Like, for sure, Ray Allen would be the most utilized and the most efficient on this team than any other team, without a doubt. Because, I mean, he'd become our sixth man at that point. It would be literally Ray Allen's team would be the ultimate perfect fit. Like, you couldn't have anybody more of a perfect fit for team needs at this point.
And he would buy into Thibodeau's style of coaching as well.
But yeah, and he's played with Thibodeau before.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the other thing. I mean, if Bulls brought in Ray Allen and Perkins and you got Thibs back, it's like, I mean, I don't get why Ray Allen and Perkins don't really like Thibodeau or why they're not like, oh, yeah, I definitely want to play with Coach Thibs. I don't understand with the Bulls. I don't get that. Same with Ray Allen.
Well, I don't know. You might have just said this because I was reading something. But, yeah, Perkins played with Thibs in Boston, didn't he?
Yeah, no, that's why I'm saying I don't get why they don't want to go to play for him right away. Because, like, oh, yeah, Thibs is a man. I want to play for Thibs.
Oh, my God. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I don't know. I was just going to say because for some reason they're not, like, hyped up to go over there.
Supposedly the Hawks are interested in Ray Allen. Oh, my God. How many three-point shooters does that team need?
Yeah, also the Warriors are, too. There's a lot of teams really interested in Ray Allen. The Bulls definitely want him more than anybody. They've been contacting him the earliest and the most often. So they're definitely the most desperate to try and get Ray Allen. And then with the Cavs, the whole draw is that Ray Allen just, you know, LeBron personally talks with Ray Allen. So it's going to be really interesting to see who he signs with. What's the signing deadline? Or is there no signing deadline?
There's no real signing deadline.
So he literally might not sign. The other theory I have, too, is maybe if he was talking with LeBron, he might say, hey, I just want to sit out to the playoffs, and then he might just get signed up right at the end of the season, just a few games in, because he doesn't really – I mean, all he has to learn is a basic offense, and that's it. Like, he's athletically, he's not going to change at all if he doesn't, if he plays or not. He doesn't get in shape.
The NBA is, like, shaping up to be one of the best years we've seen in a long, long, long time. The West is crazy. Like, when we were talking about the 16-team bracket, like a college format for the playoffs.
Yeah, Adam Silver, he's the one who wants the 16-team bracket. And also, he's just been regarded as really good, whatever it's called. It's not general manager. What's the other top guy called here?
Commissioner?
Oh, commissioner, yeah. That, and then he extended the All-Star break, which I guess the players really wanted, but I was saying that they should have had it spread out more if that's the case, like have just the dunk contest one day, just three-point contest the other day, and just the All-Star game another day, and then have like 2 days off before and after, so you don't have this weird, awkward pause at the end where after the All-Star break, there's like 4 days off.
Like, I get it, and I like it from a player's perspective, but looking at it from a fan perspective, I hate it. I hate having to wait a week to see the Bulls.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying if you spread it out, then it's the best of both worlds, because then everyone sees a three-point contest, everyone sees a dunk contest, and the All-Star game, and it's all, you know, nice and gapped out, and then you just get, like, 2 days off before and after. That's really no big deal, because instead of having that Bulls-Cavs game right before, instead you can have that just 2 days before, and then there's not that awkward pause. I think it gives them, like, rest time, too.
Do the dunk or three-point contest on Friday and Saturday, and then have the All-Star game on Sunday. It's done.
Yeah, and then just end have the last regular season game Wednesday, and then have the next following game Tuesday, and then it's not that bad at all.
It's not bad.
Oh, and then we forgot about the All-Stars Challenge, which is now just – or not. I mean the rookie sophomore game, which is now the World versus USA team, which Mirotić went lights out in that game.
Yeah,
you have that a separate day, like the first day, like have that Thursday. And then if you want the full week, there you go. You can go – Wednesday to Wednesday that way, or Tuesday to Tuesday. You got the full week off for everybody else.
Nikola Mirotić wrecked them all in that game.
Yeah, definitely. I wish I would have seen that game full, but he was just going lights out.
Because he's a superstar in the making. Like, the Bulls got to do it now, but they have a chance to be really good as well in the next couple of years, too. So it's like, their window of opportunity for championship is open, but it's just going to get harder.
It's really just Powell's declining, because Powell isn't going to be better than he is right now. Like, this is the best he'll ever be in his whole life. This is the best he's been in his whole life, too. But also, going back to that All-Star break, that dunk contest with that Zach LaVine guy, that was one of the best dunk contests we've seen, I'd say, in, like, almost 10 years. I mean,
since the Vince Carter one, or when Mason was doing crazy dunks.
Because three out of four of his dunks were all between the legs. And, I mean, like Vince Carter only did one between the leg dunk. That was it. And then all those two were off of tosses and catches. They weren't – like, he didn't dribble once in that dunk contest. And the other one was
That's true.
Back.
That's true. I didn't bring that into consideration. The Space Jam dunk was sick. Like, that when he came out with that, I was like, all right, I like this kid. I mean, the kid's like 12, but he was awesome.
Yeah, he's 19 years old, and then I look back, it's like Space Jam. Like, you were literally 1 year old when that movie came out. Like, how do you know anything about Space Jam?
Oh, my God.
It's like, that's like some, like 18-year-old doing something about Back to the Future. Like, you never even, like, heh, that movie came out, like, 20 years before you were born. But, no, that kid, hopefully he keeps going back to the dunk contest, because that was, I mean, honestly, too, I know a lot of it is, you know, the creativity, and, like, if Vince Carter came back with the same athleticism now, he'd have a lot more dunks. But in terms of, like if you went backwards, like, let's say you saw this dunk contest first, and then you saw the Vince Carter dunk contest, and let's say it was, like a blind study. Not a blind, like, they still knew about basketball and dunking, they just didn't know about, like, the dunk contest. They would say, oh, yeah, this, I almost call him Jack LaLanne. This
oh, cool.
Zach LaVine guy, or whatever, however you pronounce his name. Like,
Zach LaVine.
Say, yeah, actually, this guy's better than all of them, because nobody's ever done three between the legs off of tosses, too. And even, not just that, but he did the through the legs backwards, and then he did the through the legs backwards and a reverse. He dunked on the other side of the hoop.
I thought Oladipo's first dunk was awesome, too, is that it was everyone's calling it a 540, but it really was just a 360 behind his head slam.
Yeah, so it was like a 400, because he came on an angle, too. But, yeah, that was pretty impressive.
That was really sick. When that happened and then LaVine had that dunk, I was like, oh, man, we got ourselves a dunk contest. But, of course, Oladipo failed. Yeah, you know, I heard a lot of people saying, oh, Levine's is better than Carter's. And at first I was like, no. But then I went back and watched it after watching Levine's. I mean, that they're a little bit more impressive. Levine's dunks were really, really, really sick. That was one of the best dunks we've seen since that Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter.
Well, no, there was more afterwards, like Desmond Mason doing like insane stuff.
Oh, I know.
Those guys. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Since like 2005 or so, that's been the best it's been since then, for sure.
Yeah, I think this was the best group of dunks, though, overall, since then.
Yeah, for sure. That's the best. But that's just even the best dunk contest period in the last 10 years. That was great. And that was the best three-point contest probably of all time in terms of that roster.
Oh, my God.
That many guys. Oh, and also, too, with Steph Curry's 27, for those who don't know, it's not out of 30 anymore. It's out of 34. So it's not the same. It's like, oh, he broke the record. And nah, not really. He missed, like, 8 shots or whatever. But
yeah, it's still awesome. The three-point contest should be Saturday night, unless the dunk contest is going to be – you know what they need? They need guys like Levine, but they need a couple more, like, no more little small guys. They need just people who can really dunk. I think a guy like Jimmy Butler would be pretty good in the dunk contest, because supposedly in practice he does a bunch of sick dunks.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely be interesting. Honestly, too, the other reason why celebrities aren't going to do it now is because they're going to get, like, beat by no-name bums by this, like, by this Zach LaVine guy. Like LeBron can't do any of those dunks that he did. Like I don't care what you say, he can't do any. Like, Vince Carter was, like, almost doing, like, through the legs in-game. Like Vince Carter was the best in-game dunker of all time.
LeBron says he's over the hill for the dunk contest now. It's like, oh, yeah, nice way to be convenient. He should have done it once. Everyone did it once. Kobe
yeah,
did
he
it once.
Probably too, like your theory, he's probably too scared because the big light's coming on. He would have choked.
I know.
He's
a power dunker.
Well, yeah, that and in-game, he really only has one dunk, the, like, tomahawk dunk. That's literally it. That's the only dunk he has. That and, like a basic reverse. That's it.
And it's strong as hell. I mean, I don't want to get in front of that dunk.
Oh, yeah. Also, our theory is that, well, at least my theory, you know, how we said last show that he got off of his steroids and he lost weight. I think he's gotten back on because now you can tell he's more powerful and getting bigger again. So I think he hopped back on the juice.
True. That's sort of looks that way.
Yeah, then other random news, Mozgov, in reference to Kevin Love's injury, he brought out the Rocky IV reference and said, if he dies, he dies. And I thought that was pretty funny.
I like that guy. I don't hate the cat. I hate Kyrie Irving and I hate LeBron, but I kind of like Kevin Love. I don't think Kevin Love's going to stay with them next year. I think Kevin Love's going to L.A.
Yeah, because he doesn't do anything there. L.A. would be a decent fit, but what is he going to do in L.A.? I mean, Kobe's going to play forever until he can't play anymore. Because that's
score.
Just a mindset.
Kobe will come in and get hurt, and then Kevin Love will just take over.
I mean, might as well, because it's L.A., it's an awesome city, so even if your team sucks and you're the star, it doesn't really matter.
Maybe get the first-round draft pick, or they might get a lottery pick being the Lakers. So they could put themselves in a really good position to get a first-round draft pick, or first overall, potentially. Kevin Love, that instantly the Lakers are good again.
And also
going to be good, at least.
And also going back to last show, we talked about Rimgate, how we think that the Warriors have soft rims. Apparently back in the day, that was an actual thing, as the Bulls, back when they were a defensive team, like, I don't know what year, but it was long before the Jordan era, they actually did intentionally overly tighten their rims as tight as possible to make people miss more shots. And then it was Reggie Miller was talking about that, and he said, oh, do you think the Bulls do that now? Wow, I wonder if the Warriors loosen their rims too. So, yeah, they just basically said what we said last show.
Yeah, but it makes sense, though. There's always a home court advantage, home field advantage. Like in domes for baseball stadiums, when the visiting team is up at bat, they'll do something with the airflow in the stadium so that it is blowing more at the batter instead of with the way the ball would be going.
Wow,
so that's been happening.
That's legal.
For years. There's no way to stop it or prevent it. It's not a huge difference, but it definitely can affect it a little bit. Like, they might just have a little bit more carry on the ball, where normally if it was blowing the other way, it won't.
Yeah,
that's like a thing.
Yeah, those rim things make a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
Even, like anybody knows as a shooter, especially if you're like, you're not a direct shooter, you're like a, well, even anybody, like if you have a super soft rim versus like an outdoors rim, I mean, like outdoors, like my percentage literally gets cut in half, if not even more. There's factors like the wind, too, but even if it's not windy, just because that double rim with no give at all, like, and you know, the rim's thicker too. Even just the rims themselves are the double ones. Like, you know, literally your shot percentage gets cut in half. But they're saying that now it's all regulated, so it wouldn't happen. So it would be a very, you know, minor thing. But still, it's interesting to think about if there's people, because that's a way better, you know, rim gate is way bigger than the, you know, football deflate gate things. That doesn't really make any difference. But that makes a huge difference.
But yeah, that, I honestly, I want the Bulls to do it now. I want them to do whatever is good in their favor.
Yeah, but that and then random NFL news, Jeremy Lane, the Seahawks cornerback, tore his ACL in a minicamp or whatever. But now it's not, that's not even big news anymore, because now they're like, hey, ACL is just like paper cut. We'll be back in like 6 months.
Yeah, just give him 8 months and they'll be back in normal.
Devin, did you want to cover Joe Montana's 16?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, for any football fans out there, Joe Montana's 16 is actually going to happen, and the most exciting thing about it is that they're actually basing this off of their inspiration for NFL 2K5. So gameplay-wise, this has the potential to be literally the best game ever. Like, there's nothing but hype around this game.
This will be like, this is the sequel to NFL 2K5. Like, that's official.
Basically, and as we already know, Joe Montana's called all the old past players trying to get them to join on this game. So he'll probably get, you know, Jerry Rice, Barry Sanders, all those guys, anyone he played with, I'm sure he'll convince to get on, because they got on, like, I think they got on literally everybody in the NFL 2K8 All-Pro games, and I'm pretty sure they'll get all these guys. And even the graphics look really, really solid already, which is shocking because they had to, you know, do all that from scratch, obviously.
I just wish they had current rosters as well.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Which, you know, maybe if they come out with this game and enough people buy it, maybe the NFL will consider actually giving out the license. But probably won't happen until Roger Goodell finally dies.
This is going to be awesome. Like, I'm more excited for this than I am any other release this year. Holy crap, it's within the next 6 months.
Yeah, I know. This is like,
wow.
For football fans, it's like the first time there's been a real football game since, like, I don't even know.
NFL 2K5.
Yeah, for a real football game. But even, like, this is, like, the first, like, actually good football game since, like, Madden 08. And I'm like
yeah.
360. That wasn't even that good. So, really, yeah, Madden 2005, or for those who played PS2 Madden, Madden 07, 08 were actually really good. Well, and beyond. So, 07 and beyond were actually really good on PS2. Still not as good as 2K5, though. But, yeah, this is the first game. Yeah, basically since the first game in, what would that be? This is 2K16, so first football game in 11 years. Oh, my God, that was the longest wait ever. Especially for us, we were like huge football video game like fanatics, and then we just sort of transferred over to NBA 2K. But now football's back. Oh my God! It's like there goes half my life.
That's all I did was I'd get home and I'd just play Madden or eventually 2K5 when that was the thing. I stuck with Madden as long as I could, and I just can't. I can't do it anymore.
And Joe Montana's friends with Snoop Dogg too, and they were taking pictures of each other. So people think that he's recording like some music for him. So it's just like NFL 2K11 all over again. That's like the theory behind this, is that it's going to be set up like a 2K11, where instead of Michael Jordan on the cover, you have like the NFL equivalent, and you put Joe Montana on the cover, and it's going to be called, you know, NFL 2K16 or whatever. And
Oh my God.
Yeah, and not only that, but they actually 2K did release a football game. It was just for mobile devices over, and it was literally called NFL 2K15. So I wonder if that was just like a warm-up, or they had some demos for the Joe Montana game. They figured, hey, let's just release this on Android and iPhone and see what people think about it. So NFL made their first football game since NFL 2K8, but it was on Android. But still, that's some there's some, you know, serious evidence and some serious hope for and hype for a really, really good football game the next few months.
Finally, football has come back.
Yeah. And Joe Montana retweeted a picture of original Joe Montana video game picture, and then on the side of it says 2K Sports.
Oh,
so I don't know why, with the 2K Sports logo. So I don't know why he would retweet this unless he's trying to hit something without saying something himself.
They're hand in hand in this thing. It's just we read between the lines.
For sure. I mean, especially if they're going off of 2K5 and they're doing all this stuff with 2K. But just imagine, like, with how
Snoop Dogg's involved.
Yeah, but just with how in depth NFL 2 or NBA 2K is, like, imagine like that equivalent, like you have to do like a Joe Montana game winning drive, just like Jordan challenges, or you have to do like all the insane, like the crazy John Elway comebacks or the crazy Favre comebacks. You have to do that in the game. Like, that's just gonna be a blast.
That'd be so cool. Have like Antonio Freeman with the Packers and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, you have to replicate the miracle catch. Just have like a huge list of all this stuff. I think actually NFL 2K5 had this stuff too. I just, you know, 2K5, there wasn't all the stuff that happened recently, but for all the old players, I think they had that already. So if 2K's coming back, they'll put all that in there for sure.
And, oh, man, they could even get, like, they could get guys like Ray Lewis in it now and Urlacher and those guys who are retired.
Well, I didn't even think about that, but they totally could because they're not in the license anymore.
Oh, my God. You could do, like, the... Well, I guess not yet, but I was going to say you could do like the 06 comeback against the Cardinals, but that's not quite that. All those guys aren't retired.
I don't think anybody could do that ever. Like you'd have to play that like 1,000 times to get that lucky. And it's
so hard.